Well, let us pray. Lord Jesus, our great God and Saviour, thank you for the light that you have shone upon us and the hope and new life that you've given us. And thank you for your presence here with us today. Please, Lord, speak to each one of us. Move around amongst us, Lord, and open our hearts to hear your word, to the glory of your name. Amen. So all this week, we've been thinking about the great hope that we have in God. That the world is so full of bad news. You turn on the news at night and you just see countless stories of misery and terrible things happening. But that as Christians, we know there's good news. There is the good news, the best news that could ever be. That there is a God, a loving creator God who's there and who cares for each one of us. So much so that he sent his son, who is God, into this world to save us. That Jesus Christ has come and he is putting right everything that is wrong. And so the gospel is this wonderful message of hope for each one of us. But as we think about hope, it led me to think this week about the most hopeless thing that I've ever experienced. The most hopeless thing I've ever been through. Just recently, I attended a secular funeral. The funeral of someone who was a very firm atheist, who had, you know, no belief in God. And this isn't meant to be offensive. If perhaps, you know, someone in your family has had a secular funeral, I'm not trying to, attack. I'm saying though that for me, it dragged me down. It left me downcast because of what was missing. You see, there were some pop songs. There was a favourite poem of this person. There were memories of family members and it was good. It was helpful. It helped to grieve. But then that was it. That was it. There was a final goodbye and everyone left. And what was missing, what was not there at all, was any hope. There was no hope. Not for them, not for us, for the future, no hope. And I felt that it actually had reduced this person. You see, we're all created to be God's children, made to be in his image. We have an immortal soul. But there was nothing about that. It was just flesh and blood, and then that's it. You cease to exist and you're gone. Well, if that's the case, how it reduces to what life's really all about. And the value of people. Life's short, it's filled with pain and challenges and you die, and then you're gone. And there is no greater meaning or purpose. And so I came away from that, just feeling a sense of hopelessness. But this morning, what I want to try and share with you is the difference that Jesus makes to a funeral. What happens when Jesus turns up at a funeral? You see, I've grown up my whole life attending Christian funerals. And they're very different. Because no matter how tragic the circumstance, no matter how painful the loss, there's always hope. There's always those wonderful words where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And that there is real hope even in the face of death. And that's what I want to pass on to you in this final message about hope. Even in the face of death, when death, that monster, comes and claws at you, and it tears at you, and it takes a loved one away, there is real hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in the most hopeless situation. Because, you see, that's what that Bible passage in John 11 is all about. It's about what happened when Jesus came to a funeral. You see, we're told that one of Jesus' followers, one of his disciples, Lazarus, grew sick. And then, mysteriously, Jesus waits for a few days. And then when he does go to visit and see the family, it's too late. And Lazarus has died. And he finds his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And of course, they're just overwhelmed with grief. And the communities come together. And you see, in the time of Jesus, you would bury somebody straight away in a matter of hours. It's the Middle East, it's hot. But then the funeral would go on for days, as people would take a couple of days to be able to travel and get to you, and you would eat together, the community would come together. And it's in the midst of this funeral, when there would have been people wailing, that Jesus shows up. In fact, Lazarus, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. A little cave that would have been carved in the side of a hill, and a big stone put in front. He's gone. It's hopeless. You know how Mary and Martha would have felt. You think back to when you lost somebody. There's that pit in your stomach, and you're tired from the weight of the grief. Well, into this hopeless situation, Jesus comes. But then you might be wondering, there's a big question here, isn't there? Why is Jesus late to the funeral? How come he got there so late? Look at verse 6, if you've got a Bible open. You see, it says there that Jesus deliberately delayed a further 2 days. So when he gets there, Lazarus is dead 4 days. So the big question the Bible wants you to ask, and it wants you to think, is it saying, why didn't Jesus rush to be there? Why didn't he hurry up and get there to help Lazarus or to be there before he died? Now we know from the Gospels that Jesus had an amazing power to heal people. There's no illness, there's no disease too big for Jesus. He healed countless people effortlessly. So why does he delay? And if you're looking through the passage, you'll see that the people ask, couldn't Jesus have done something? 3 times different people say, look, Jesus, if you had been here, you could have healed him. You could have stopped this, Jesus. But now, it's too late. It's too late. It's there in verse 21, verse 32, and verse 37. And when the Bible's repeating something, that's its way of saying to you, this is the point, this is what it's trying to say. You're too late, Jesus. And so now it's hopeless. So, was Jesus being heartless? Does he not care? Does God not care about suffering? Well, that's what many people would say, that if there is a God, he's not going to show up. He doesn't care. Well, we know that can't be the case. Because you look through the Gospels and Jesus is so full of compassion. He's always helping those in need. And you see in this passage, he's overwhelmed with feeling for this sad situation, and it says that he weeps. But it's too late. It's too late, Jesus. So what's going on? Well, in fact, Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a good purpose. There's a reason for all of this. If you look with me at verse 4, and I'm sure the disciples didn't understand, but he says to them, actually, all of this is for the glory of God. God's going to reveal himself. God's going to show you something about himself through this. Something of his goodness and his greatness is going to be revealed. So what's God going to show? That it's never too late. It's never too late for Jesus. There is always hope when Jesus is there. He's come to show that he is bigger than even death. You see, by these actions, it's as if Jesus is saying, he's saying to them, to us, he's saying, yeah, you're right. Do you know, it's hopeless when someone dies. What can anyone do about death? He's dead 4 days, verse 17. His body is starting to decay, verse 39. He's not a little bit dead. He's fully dead. There is nothing to work with here. Life's completely gone. It's impossible. Except, says Jesus, for me. Let me show you what I can do. And so he's acted in this way, and he's delayed to show you that there is no situation so bad Jesus can't handle it. He knew Lazarus would die, and he knew that he could bring good out of this evil. And so this is the first big thing that you should hold on to and take away with you this morning. There is nothing too big for Jesus. Not even death. So then that brings you to the second big question. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that is so confident he's willing to sit back and wait for 2 days and let somebody die before he intervenes because he knows he can handle it? Who is this Jesus that he can handle something like that? Well, then you've got the key verse. Verse 25. This is the heart of what it's about. Jesus shows up at the funeral and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, this is one of the greatest, most important sayings of Jesus in the whole Bible. But what does it mean? Well, really, he's saying one thing, but he's saying it in three different ways. He's saying, for those who would understand, I am the living God. I am the living God. You see, the first thing he says is he says, I am. I am. Quite deliberately. Now again, for the people in the time of Jesus, that's got a huge significance. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible that they had in that time, God had revealed there was a certain name that he wanted the people to know him by. A certain name they could use to call on God. And that name was, I am that I am. Or, I am the one who has always been, and who is, and who always will be. It was God's way of saying, I'm alive! I'm the living God! I'm eternal! I am life! And that he is in himself self-sufficient. I'm sure I speak for all the team. We know after this week we're not self-sufficient. And I mean that just in the physical sense. We're exhausted. We're tired. And it's a good thing. But when God says, I am, he's saying, I never get tired. I am always full of life. Life is always in me and flowing out of me. And he's saying, I don't depend on anything else to give me something. Everything else is leaning on me. And when God gave us that name in the Bible, it says he appeared in a miracle. There was a bush on fire. The burning bush, but it wasn't burned up. You see, what was God saying? He's saying, I'm the fire that needs no fuel. I don't need something to make me burn and live. I am. And so the incredible significance that Jesus shows up at a funeral and he says, I am. He's saying, I'm the living God. I'm that all-sufficient resource that can meet every need. And then the second thing is he says, I am the resurrection. Now, resurrection is an unusual word, but you're probably not going to use that down at the chip shop week to week, Scott. Resurrection. But it's a wonderful word. It's a Bible word. What does it mean? It means life out of death. It doesn't just mean life after death, like reincarnation, as some might think. Nothing like that. It means life out of death. It means the healing and the restoring of life. Life being made beautiful and glorious and powerful. It's about a dead body being made alive. Not like a zombie. But alive. Full of life. Full of beauty and glory. And Jesus is saying, I am that resurrection. You see, again, the people in the time of Jesus, as you heard Martha say, what they were hoping in, what they were looking forward to, was a great resurrection. A new beginning when the world would be restored and they would be raised up and death would end. And that's what the Old Testament had been promising. And Jesus comes to the funeral and he says, it's me. I'm the one who's going to bring in this healing power to human life. And then he says, I am the life. I'm the one who gives life, who cares for life, who sustains life. You know, it's often fascinating. I've had the privilege of leading many funerals. And almost always, there's a guest who shows up and nobody knows who they are. The family doesn't know. They normally will come in, sit at the back, and they had some connection to the deceased and nobody knows who they are, who the mystery guest is. The astonishing claim of the Bible is that the mystery guest that day at the funeral is God himself came. God somehow, mysteriously, has come to us and become a human being. And that is Jesus, God the Son. And he has come and lived amongst us in order to share life with us. And you see in this passage, he's come to share in all of life. Come alongside us as a friend. He weeps with us. He bears the burdens, the sufferings of life with us. But he's come to share his life with us. His eternal life. If you want a picture of what I'm trying to say, if you've ever been to Bath, it's a beautiful city, you'll know that there's some ancient Roman baths there. And there's a hot spring underneath. And if you fancy it, there's still a luxury spa you can go to today. And you can bathe in those same hot waters that have been bubbling up, flowing out for over 2,000 years. And it's still flowing just as strong today as it ever was. Jesus is the fount of life. Not for 2,000 years, but forever. And it'll never end. And life as it's meant to be, with peace and in harmony with God, is all flowing through Jesus out into the world. And he has come here even at this funeral. You see, this is why there's hope. This is why there's hope if we turn to Jesus. Because he's infinite. He's got all the resources, the help we could ever need. This is why there's hope when Jesus is at a funeral. And so then the final question. So what happens when Jesus comes to a funeral? What did Jesus do? What does he do? He summons us to life. He calls us to live. Did you notice the way that Jesus raises Lazarus? He calls him out. If you look at verse 43, I think it is. He says, "Lazarus, come out. Come out, Lazarus." He calls to life. Now, you don't have to look there, but if you just glance at verses 24 to 26, Jesus has a conversation there with Martha. Now, in essence, what Jesus says to her there is that he gives her a powerful promise. A powerful promise. In essence, Jesus says, look, this miracle I'm about to do is a preview of the resurrection that will come at the end. You know, like when you go to the movies and you watch the previews and they show you all the best bits of the movies before they come out? That's what Jesus does in the miracles. He says, this is a preview of what I'm going to do and giving eternal life and calling people. So this is a wonderful promise of what Jesus can do for each one of us. He calls us to life. And he gives this promise. He says to her, whoever, that's a huge word, that covers everybody. Whoever trusts in me, I will give eternal life to. I'll give this new life to. I'll put it like a spring in you that's going to bubble up in you. And it'll never end. And I'll raise you up out of death. And he gives this wonderful promise. What you see me now doing, Lazarus, I can also do for you. But then it's not just a promise, it's a powerful call. Death cannot hold Lazarus. It cannot hold him. His master summons him. There is such power in the voice of Jesus. It's creative power. You know, the Bible says in the very beginning in Genesis 1, God spoke into nothingness and he called into being everything. And that same power now works and he calls Lazarus back to life. The power's not in Lazarus, the power's in the word that goes out to him. Do you know, if I could put it this way, the longer I go on as a parent, the more ineffective and powerless I find my calling is. Wesley, Elizabeth, come here and pick up your toys. And I have no power to draw them. You know what it's like, don't you, parents? God, the great creator parent, he says, come. And there's a power that goes forth. And he gives new life. And he calls us out. There's a hymn we'll sing in just a moment where it says, power into strengthless souls he speaks, and life into the dead. Does your soul feel strengthless this morning? Are you brought down by the difficulties and miseries of life? Then listen to Jesus. That's why we come to church, to listen to him speaking to us in the scriptures. And he's saying in a powerful voice, come, and he'll give you that new life. And it's a personal call. Personal. He says, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. He knows. He knows us. He loves us. He summons us. I once read of a little girl who was walking home one evening after church. And the preacher was walking home with her, and he saw her turn off, and she was going to walk through a graveyard. And in the story, you know, it's a foggy night, and it's dark, and the wind is whistling. And he says to her, don't you want me to walk with you through the graveyard? Aren't you a bit scared? And the little girl says, no, not at all. My home is just on the other side. And I know my mum's waiting for me, and she'll be shouting my name and calling me. So I'm not afraid to go. You see, there's that same sense when a Christian ends up having to face death. We're not afraid. We're not afraid to go through it. Because we know there's this wonderful, powerful voice that's calling us and saying, Rini or Sam. And he's calling us. And it'll bring us home. You see, what I'm saying to you is a Christian hope. It's not whistling in the dark. It's not just wishful thinking. We have this hope because we've heard this voice calling us. We've felt it pulling our hearts. It's drawn us here today. We've heard Jesus. And he's not just going to call us in the future out of physical death. He calls us now out of spiritual death. Out of the emptiness of life without him. Out of sin. Out of all the things we've done wrong. Out of the death that's around us. He calls us now to give us spiritual life. And he revives us. He changes us and makes us new. So this is the wonderful hope we've got. This is the difference when Jesus comes to a funeral. There's hope. It's never too late for Jesus. And whatever the situation, because he is the living God, there is always hope. There's no problem too big for Jesus. There's one final thing to say. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? If you look at verse 26, as they're on the way to the tomb, Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And then when he orders them to take the stone away from the grave, they all say, no, hang on, Jesus. Don't do that. And he says, didn't I tell you you would see the glory of God? What's he saying? He's saying, trust me. Trust me. And that's what Jesus is saying to all of us this morning through this story. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. I'm the one who can give you life now and in eternity. Surrender your life and your death into my hands. Follow me. Entrust everything to me and do it my way, not your way. Follow my commands. Receive my promises. I will be with you. Come to me. Trust me. I once heard a preacher talk about a father and a son. And they were walking home one night in London during the Second World War. And as you can imagine, of course, it was a blackout. There's no lights. And they had to dodge their way through the damage and the bomb craters. So they came to a large hole they couldn't get around, and the father had to drop down into it to make his way across. And it was so dark the little boy couldn't see him. So he got frightened. And then he heard his father's voice saying, I'm here. Jump. I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you. And he had to take that step of faith of answering the call and saying yes. You see, when you do face death, often you can't see God. And you might not feel God. He might not seem to be there. And all you see is the pain and the fear. Well, in that moment, listen to the voice of Jesus speaking so clearly. And he says, trust me. Trust me and jump and I'll catch you. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your death. Surrender and let me be the Lord of your life. And I'll catch you. So this morning I pray that you will trust him. This is the difference when Jesus comes to a funeral. There is always hope. in Jesus. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that we've heard your call, calling us out of death and into life, to true life, to know you, to know your love, and to follow you. Lord, please help us hear your call this morning. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, especially when the way is dark. Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life, the one who gives hope when it's hopeless, the one who can give us life and a future. Lord, we do entrust our lives to you. We trust you, O Lord. Guide us and keep us and help us follow your way. We pray for your glory. Amen.